And he may allow the trials and things that are upsetting in your life. But this is where faith kicks in. And it takes a minute for you to realize that God will also, and he does always, offer a way of escape so that you be able to bear what is going on in your life. His love, his grace, his salvation, family relationship. I have the God of the universe, the only living and true God. We have him in our hearts. His infallible guidance, his protection, his provision, his fellowship. I have fellowship with the Father and Christ the Savior and the Holy Spirit and fellowship with you who are part of the family of God. The one thing I can't do, I can't have fellowship here with anybody who doesn't name the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. There is no fellowship light with darkness. There is no fellowship of a person who is of the world and one who is in God. And that's why you are invited on this Thanksgiving Sunday to give your heart and life to Christ through the testimony that was given. Wow, carefully screening everything that comes across my path, his grace, his strength, his presence, his peace, his love, his joy. He's my Redeemer, he's our Shepherd, he's our Helper, he's our Lord, he's our God. Wow, is there anything that even could come close to that in the world? No. But Jesus kind of thinks that some of us don't give thanks. So he tells a story in Luke 17. Go to that, please. About 10 individuals. Luke 17. Chris, is this red, ready to go, or is it turned green? Luke 17, don't look at Chris, look at the Bible here. Make it green, please. Okay, we're going to go down to verse 11, Luke 17, verse 11. And hey, let's stand together and read this incredible passage of Scripture. Let's pray first. Father, we're told to give thanks. We want to do that, Lord. We want to learn of ourselves today. And we want to see just what you have for us on this October 9th, 2011. We thank you for life, for breath, for health, but we thank you for the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. And you abide in us by the Holy Spirit, so illumine your word, touch our spirits, Lord, speak to us, Lord. Bless those who cannot be here, beds of illness, healing on Bob Fisk, Fred Cullen. We pray collectively for these people, for all of them, for Rhonda, for Rita. We pray for their physical healing. And yet we pray, Lord, for spiritual healing, as Chris prayed earlier, for so many that know not the Savior. Lord, help us get a good look at ourselves today. We were lepers. We were cleansed. We were forgiven. Make us thankful. Amen. Okay. Now, 17:11, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going into a village, there was 10 men who had leprosy, and they met him. They all stood at a distance and cried with a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, usually lepers, when they saw someone, they would say, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," and they would tell everybody that they were a leper because they were commanded to do that by law. But they saw Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, have pity on us." And he saw them, he said, "Well, just go and show yourselves to the priest. That's all." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. Wow. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He was a Samaritan. He was an outcast, assuming the other nine were Jews. Jesus asked him, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Spiritual healing came to this one who gave thanks. Wow. Now, I want you also to just plug in a name. Who do you know right now? I'll give you two names if you want, but at least one. I want you to take one name and inscribe him on the mental chalkboard of your life. Who needs this sermon? Write his name down. Or write her name down. Got a name? Don't look at him. Just. Now, I want you to stop that naughty exercise. Erase that name. And I want you to write your name and say, "God, as the preacher talks today, as the word of God is broken, show me two areas that has my name written all over them and speak to me and no one else." You got that? You know your name, you know your need, you know your Savior. God bless you as you take your seat. Giving thanks is humbling. It's admitting that I need God. I can't create any blessings of myself. It exalts God. But I want to give some reasons here why giving thanks is so important. And the first one is, well, we're told to be thankful again and again. Colossians 1:12, we're to give thanks unto the Father because he has made us meet to be partakers. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us, Colossians 1:13, he's delivered us from the power of darkness. That takes a lot of delivery. And he's translated us. He's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And Christ is the image of the invisible God. And by him, all things were created that are in heaven and in earth. You have that God, the only living and true God in your heart. Give thanks to the Father. It's a command. So if you're not being thankful, guess what? You're being disobedient. Disobedient. You notice God calls us children all through scriptures. He doesn't say, "Hey, you adults, the children of God," because we need to be told to be thankful. Okay. Secondly, go in Ephesians 5. Find your Bible and open your Bible. Ephesians 5 and 20 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Okay, Ephesians 5. I love the words of the Holy Spirit. He just doesn't mince around, does he? He's coming here, and if God were here this morning, which he is, but if he was going to speak instead of me and you could see him, he would say, I'm sure, these very words, because he inspired these very words. In Ephesians 5:15. He said, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, not as a fool, but as wise." And of course, the fool in the scripture, Psalm 53:1 and Psalm 14:1, the fool is the one who says there is no God. So don't live as a fool. But make the most of every opportunity, make the most of this hour. Don't be foolish. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, underline the will of the Lord there. May your Bible be a working text. What is God's will? Well, it's not to get drunk with wine for sure, but it is to be filled with the Spirit. That's God's will. That's God's will. Keep your finger there. Flip over to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Are you there? Quick fingers can go faster than those new iPads, or whatever you call them, iPods. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, this is mysterious. This is inscrutable. This is hard to understand. But in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, we read, "Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Okay? This is God's will. Now back to Ephesians. It tells us God's will is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hey, here's the truth. God's will never lead you where His Holy Spirit and His grace will not keep you. God's will never lead you where His grace and Holy Spirit will not keep you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the will of God. This world will soon pass away. Whatever does the will of God, 1 John 2:17, will abide forever. It's God's will we give thanks. It's God's will we be filled with the Spirit. Look at the filling of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And now we have three direct results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, in our company of worship and praise. If you are filled by the Holy Spirit this morning, you will have opened your mouth and sung praise to our God. You just had to get it out because it's there. You see, it says in verse 19, the first result of being filled by the Spirit is worshiping. It's sacred song. The second one in verse 20 is sacred thanksgiving. And the third one, of course, amongst ourselves again, is that we are submissive people, one to another. A person who is not worshiping and praising God, a person who is not thankful but grumbling, a person who is not submissive, as it were, is modeling someone who doesn't have Christ in his life. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 and verse 21. Simply, God's wrath against mankind. Because you know what characterizes man without God? They knew God, they knew of Him, they neither glorified Him as God, and they didn't give thanks to Him. They didn't give thanks. We don't want that to characterize our lives. Because the world will get the idea we're just like them. But to give thanks in everything will set the world apart. It's interesting, isn't it? One leper came back. Nine didn't. Jesus touched the lepers and healed them. It was a messianic sign that He would heal a leper. You know that, don't you? John the Baptist was in prison and he doubted. Some of us doubt. And he said to his friends, "Go and ask Jesus whether He's really the Christ, the Messiah." And Jesus said, "Yeah. Tell him." The leper got cleansed. It had been 700 years since a leper was cleansed. The Messiah had come to town, and the Messiah had healed. And now it's time for the lepers to give thanks. Where do we find ourselves at today? A couple more reasons here why we need to give thanks. Well, grumbling's a sin. You wouldn't want to look up Philippians 2:14 because it says, "Do all things without grumblings and complainings, so that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, and no one can put their finger on you and say you're a grumbler and complainer without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom we live. Don't be a grumbler. Thanksgiving fuels our faith. It really does. It fuels our faith. Because I, in my faith, cannot handle the package of life that God puts on my doorstep. How could Cheryl handle her life as to what was put on her doorstep? The only way she could handle it was by having faith in God. And it translated into thanksgiving in her life. Thanksgiving fuels our faith. We'll come back to that. Thanksgiving is what God deserves. Neat verse in Revelation 7. It says, unto God be wisdom and majesty and power and dominion and all those things. And it says, and thanks, Revelation 7:12. He's given us so much. Okay. We get some enemies of thanksgiving, though. In other words, if you're an unthankful person, what's gone wrong? What's gone wrong? You knew you've been saved from the wrath to come. You've been saved from the pit of hell. You've been saved from yourself. You've been forgiven your sins. You've been given a home in heaven this week. And I thank you for excusing my emotions last Sunday. But I got a little card in the mail. And it had a little membership card signifying I'm a citizen of heaven. And I ought to remember that. That was an encouragement to me. But what goes wrong that I'm no longer thankful? You see, I forget I'm a citizen of heaven. And I begin to compare myself with other people. I want you to go home this week and read Matthew 21 to 15. It's a story Jesus told about hiring people in the morning. He hired a couple guys in the morning to work. And then he hired a couple guys at noon hour to work. And he hired a couple guys more. At the end of the day, some had worked all day, some half a day, some just an hour, and he paid them all the same. And these guys got angry. They began to compare themselves one with another. And that sometimes makes us so unthankful. When I say, God, you've given him this, but what have you given me? If I'm thankful to God, I accept what he's given. And I can't define who should get this, who should get that. But I'm to accept what he gave me. And eternity will explain. There's an old song. We'll understand it better by and by. Now we get these poor theology practices. Because, of course, you hear preachers much better than me on the radio and the TV and I guess other churches, whatever, you know. Hey, you are in charge. And you can just name it and claim it and mark it and park it and whoa. God, if you will, I will. God, if you will, I will. God, if you will, heal me. Lord, I'll do anything for you. If you'll give me this money, God. You see, the difference is that it's God's will that we give thanks in, not our will. And so it's what he wills, I accept. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when death is approaching, and I've been beaten to a pulp, our Lord said, Lord, if you can, let it pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. He is the sovereign Lord. So an unthankful heart lays aside the sovereignty of God and puts himself in place and begins to direct God. Doesn't look to others. Or he looks to others rather than God. That person can't say Deo gratias. He can't say it. He can't say thanks be unto God, because it's he who is doing the directing. Okay, just a couple more here. Bitterness. Well, go to Ephesians 4, 29. Ephesians 4:29 tells us how to talk. Tells us how to talk to one another. It says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but that which is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Because you were sealed to the day of redemption. You've been redeemed forever. But don't grieve him. Well, how can I grieve him? Grieve means how do I bring God sorrow? Well, the next verse tells you bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, forms of malice. They eat me up and they hurt the Holy Spirit. They grieve the Holy Spirit. We were in 1 Thessalonians 5. Keep your finger there in Ephesians, but go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 for a minute. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're new in the church, we try to get you to look up the verses rather than put them on the screen. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will in Christ Jesus. And you see, it doesn't say grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but it says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. The old King James, quench not the Spirit. You know, the Spirit of God wants to be amongst us in power, and the Spirit of God wants to do great things. He wants to revive us. He wants to do great things. How can we quench him? Well, by not doing God's will of being thankful. How can we quench him? By a sense of bitterness. And here's how bitterness kind of comes down. I begin to focus on the person who failed me, who wronged me, and I'm taken by the evil one into bitterness. Now, bad things happen to me. I'm not doubting that. But I now have allowed Randy Evans to be so operative, and I am now bitter against the one who hurt me. Now tell me, I hope, Bud and Cheryl, you'll allow me to use you for an illustration since you already spoke. But I'm just wondering, you see, if you would have let bitterness into your heart. If you would have, it would grieve God. It would put out the Spirit's fire. So you see, this Thanksgiving thing is a pretty big thing. It's a big thing. Don't be bitter. And then spiritual short-sightedness. We forget. We forget so soon, don't we? This bad thing happens to me, and I forget yesterday. I forget what God gave me yesterday. And it's a short-sightedness that just isn't really good for my soul. Remember what the Lord your God did. Another verse you might check out is Deuteronomy 8, not now, but Deuteronomy 8, verse 17 and 18. It says, your health and strength, everything you have, is from God. It's not from you. So let's look at some of the verses there. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Remember the wonders he did. Wow, the wonders he did. That he saved my soul. He didn't save my brother's soul. He saved my soul. Why, Lord? Why, Lord? How, Lord? Wow, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Eternally saved. But now, God, I'm disappointed over a temporal thing. I got to come back to the God who saved me and remember what he did for me. Remember this. Fix it in your mind. Take it to heart. And Ephesians 2, remember that you were without Christ. You had no part in the commonwealth of Israel, the covenant of promise. You were without God. But now you're in Christ, forgiven, redeemed, love. You see, if you will remember those things, it'll help you to be thankful today. Some of the friends of gratitude, being content. If I'm a contented person, I'm going to give God thanks. And someone said Thanksgiving is really what it means. Give thanks and then give. Someone who's real thankful will give. He'll just give. He'll just give. He won't have to be, you know, take out his wallet. When he tithes on this check of $1,111.61, he will probably tithe on $101.06 if he's not thankful. If he's thankful, he'd say, hey, what's going on here, Lord? I'm going to tithe at least $110 this month. Yeah. I can tithe in the gross amount, God, because I get so much from all that stuff that you taxed me on. But a person who is full of thanksgiving will give thanks, and then he'll give. He'll see a need, and he'll just give. He won't even think, well, how much money does that guy got? I'm going to give him something. Just need comes up, you give. Give thanks. You see, it's you're contented. And, of course, the contentment comes because you got Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Whoa, great gain. We brought nothing in this world. Certain we can't carry anything out. Having food and raiment, let us be content. And Hebrews 13:5-6, it says, be content because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have more than all the money in the whole wide world. So if you're content, you will certainly be a thankful person. This is where faith and trust kind of kicks in. This is really what makes us thankful. Because I can't handle life, and so I must have faith in God. I must have faith in God. I must accept life that's put in front of me. And I have to see the glass, the old half glass, half empty, half full type of thing. I have to take this for an illustration. Are you watching? This is the only object lesson you're going to get this morning, I think, with an object here. So let's see if I can give it to you. Okay. God calls us to focus on what we have today, not on what we do not have. We see the glass. Do we see it half empty? Do we see it half full? If you see it half empty, then you say, who stole my water? And you're not thankful. But if you see it half full, you say, who gave me water? Wow! So I ask you the question. What do you see here? Air? Or do you see water? The one who sees water says, Dale, gratias, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. There's a neat song that some of you that sang scriptural songs years ago. Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree will not blossom, there be no fruit on the vine, though the labor of the olive will fail, and the fields, they won't yield any meat, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I Give thanks to the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'll rejoice in the Lord. God the Lord is my strength. So a friend of gratitude is giving thanks. Remember we talked about bitterness? Ephesians 4:31. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. 30. Whereby you're sealed the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you. Get all away from you. And then verse 32. Be kind one to another, forgiving one another. All of us here have people we need to forgive. And if I can't forgive them, I can't say, Deo gratias. I can't say, thanks be to God. I'm in bondage. Picked up a book by Barclay, and he says, The Shadows of Life. Didn't remark on this verse at all, except one sentence. He said, When I face the sun, shadows fall behind me. If I turn my back to the sun, shadows fall in front of me. Some other friends, to kind of wind this down. Obedience. You obey. As they went, they were healed. I'm sure those lepers thought, Jesus, we understand you come and touch a leper and heal him, so why are you just telling us we want to be healed? You're just telling us to go. He said, yeah, just go. Go tell the priest. We kind of always want to know which way we should go rather than just accepting the word of God. The apostles fished all night. That means all night, like all night. And they got nothing out in the water. And now it's noon hour, they're coming back in, and Jesus says, Hey guys, they know the Lord. Luke 5. He said, Cast your net on the right side of the, over there. And of course, Peter, these guys knew. They knew how to fish. The guy on the shore didn't know how to fish, obviously. You catch at night, you don't catch in the middle of the day, and you certainly don't catch on the right hand side. And then they knew it was the Lord, and they said, Okay. They let down the net, and they caught a tremendous draft of fish. They obeyed God. 1 Thessalonians says, The sisters to thanksgiving, joy, prayer. Let me close with an illustration. I don't want to drink this water. This was hot this morning. Daniel. You remember Daniel? By the way, when do you give thanks? Do you give thanks just because God's blessed you today? Or can you give thanks in the midst of a struggle? In the midst of an incredible tense situation? How would you give thanks when your baby is born with enormous physical deficiency, infirmity? How would you give thanks? Someone walks out on you, like Cheryl spoke of. In the very midst of life, young Daniel, Daniel 6:10, it says he gave thanks. Knowing the decree was written, whoever gives thanks or praise to his God will be cast into the den of lions. In Daniel 6:10, Daniel got down his knees 3 times a day, and he gave thanks. Knowing the outcome was going to be pretty grim, but he gave thanks. Another friend that we all have heard of is George Mueller, this German pastor who operated orphanages. And he said he was always given enough to feed the orphans, but never enough to bank any money for tomorrow. So by faith, he operated. One day, he said, he sat down 200 orphans, and there was no food. And he gave thanks that morning, that noon hour. Kid said, there's no food. You're giving thanks. There was a knock at the door. The baker came to the door. The baker said, "Hey, my daddy died. I have to go out of town now. It's a long journey. I want to give all that I have in the bakery to the orphanage. Could I bring it in?" Bring it in. The kids had all the bakery goods that they ate. There's one commentary, James MacArthur, John MacArthur. He writes of the breeding, the multiplication of virtues coming from a thankful heart. In other words, God can do a lot with a thankful heart. He can just operate and do enormous things. And in Mueller's life, he did things that George never even knew about. He fed the orphans. But George was a godly man. And the story of his life goes forth over to Australia. And there's an evangelist, and he's preaching each night of the week an evangelistic message. The itinerant evangelist didn't stay in hotels like we do today when we travel, but they stay with another person, a billet. And this evangelist was staying with this farmer, and they lived out of town a little ways in Australia. And after the evangelistic meeting that night, the evangelist, he had referred in his sermon to George Mueller the story that I had just told you. And he got in the car with the old farmer, or the young farmer. I don't know, he's probably Ludwig's age. Is that young or old? We don't know. But Terry's age. And he gets in the car, and just as they're leaving the city, there's a hitchhiker. Put him in the back. Get him in the back. And they talked a bit to him. And then the farmer says, "You intrigue me about that Mueller guy." He said, "That was just an amazing story." And of course, this story takes place about 15 years, 20 years after the orphanage provision that day. And the evangelist says, "Let me tell you the story again. Let me give you the long version." The evangelist told the farmer the story of the faith of Mueller and how loving and kind he was to the constituency around him and how everyone in the community knew of his faith and that he had, and he loved those orphanages, so, the orphans so much. Then he told the story again of the 200 being provided that day. Wow! The guy in the back started to weep, started to cry. Stopped the car. "Sir, what's the matter?" He said, "I was that baker. And," he said, "Mr. Mueller shared with me the Lord." The evangelist said, "How about now? Do you want to come to Christ?" He did. They gave thanks. Matthew Henry, whom we still read, I have his abridged edition of his commentary. It's about that thick. But he's written 9 volumes in prison in the 1600s. He wrote 9 volumes of the Word of God, the Matthew Henry commentary. Some of you have his commentary. I may be inaccurate on the dates. I'm kind of thinking it's way back then. But Matthew Henry was a godly man. And he wrote a diary every day. After he died, they opened his diary and they read it. When he was living, he was a faithful pastor. One of the entries about his heart of thanksgiving, he writes, "I was robbed yesterday. About the robbery, God, I want to give you thanks for it. Thanks, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that I was never robbed before. And thanks also, Lord, although they took my money, that's all they took. They didn't take my life. And thank you, Lord, that it was I who was robbed, and it was not me doing the robbing. Thanksgiving? Well, it's not a matter of feeling thankful. It's a matter of obeying God. Johnny's quote. If Jesus took your Thanksgiving temperature, where would it be at? If Jesus heard the conversation in the Evans household, Jesus does hear the conversation in the Evans household. He hears Sandra, he hears me, he hears Tim, he hears all of you. Does he hear Thanksgiving? Or give me some more. Do it for me. Help me. You know, all that. Dale Gratius, thanks be to God. We're safe with God. He's in control. He never loses track of what's happening. He's always watching over us. He's always working for our good. He always knows what I'm going through. And he has it all in hand. And he's saying, Randy. He's not saying Randy. He's commanding us. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He's got the whole world in his hands. Let's pray. Father, thanks for the great worship. We say it's great because you're great, Lord. We've had a chance today to express the fullness of the Holy Spirit by singing to you and praising you with all of our hearts, Lord, in song. And now we've seen the Word of God, Lord. You just love us so much, and you've told us in that love letter just to do those things. God, fill us with the Spirit. May we realize you're our sovereign God. You got it all inscribed in life, Lord, and we'll follow you, Lord. Take away bitterness from us. Give us forgiveness. Give us the love of Jesus in all that we say and do. And remember your love, Lord. Remember your love. Remember what you did for us, Lord. Thank you. Got it all in control, God. And now I pray for the people. They're in a dilemma. They're in a conundrum. They're in a puzzle, Lord, because they're looking around them and they're seeing things happening that do not seem to be congruent with faith in God. Give them the eyes to fix their eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So give us enduring power, Lord. But give us thankfulness in this church, Lord, and to give thanks, Dale, gratuitous to your glory and honor.
Will you stand with us?
There is love that came for us, humbled to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again, victorious. Faithfulness none can deny. Through the storms and through the fire, there is truth that sets me free. Jesus Christ, who lives in me. You are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. No beginning and no end, you're my hope and my defense. You came to seek and save the lost. Paid it all upon the cross. You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written. Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written. Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. So let your name be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. Stronger, sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written. Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all.
Wow, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the honor, the majesty, Lord. Everything in the heaven and earth is yours, Lord. You're to be exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come of you, Lord. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great, to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, I thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Place our lives in your hands, Lord, the mighty hands of the universe, the omnipotent, all-powerful God that you are, ever present where we will go, completely omniscient, knowing all things. Eternity in your hand, the first and the last that you are, Jesus. Our circumstances that we have, Lord, we give you thanks, knowing that you're working, knowing that you're going to do them all a good turn, because all things, oh, by the way, Lord, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to your purpose. You are the sovereign God, Jesus Christ. We will give thanks. We will give thanks. Dear friends, today, talk to someone who's in need of a thank you. Someone maybe who lives by themselves, someone who's in a nursing home, someone who's looking lonely and needy. Say, hey, I thank God. I thank God for you. But let's end the service by saying that to each other. Thanks be unto God. Let's try it again, okay? Deo gratias. Thanks be unto God for you, young lady, and your baby, and Declan, and Hudson, and everybody else, Sullivan. And that's all.